My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. We begin with Beethoven. Well, actually, with intellects of a more recent vintage. Meet John Amis and Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. And keeping score while I attempt to keep order is a Scot. Not of the Wallace clan, I hasten to say. Actually, she's a Macmillan. So there's going to be no favouritism. Meet Mary Bell. Well, as I said, we begin with Beethoven. John, classical symphonies firmly state which key they're in. For instance. And half an hour later, this one ends in the same emphatic way. John, which Beethoven symphony?
Would it be somewhere between 1 and 3?
It might, yes.
Yes. Yes. Opus 36, I think.
Oh, good, yes. Number 2, then. In what key, please?
D.
Major. Frank, Beethoven... Frank hasn't understood a word so far.
Why wasn't it just symphony number 2? Two fingers up.
So you know about Beethoven. Yes, I was thinking of two sharps as opposed to two flats, but yes, yes, you're absolutely right. Hastening to get on, Frank, Beethoven called this Leonora number 3. Or if he didn't, we certainly do. Why?
He'd written 2 Leonoras, yes, and was contemplating a 4th. And then he wrote this one, and it seemed somehow to fit.
Yes. Actually, yes. It's one of the 4 overtures, yes, to the opera that we now call Fidelio. Quite right. Ian, I was talking of Fidelio. Here's some lovely singing. The question, please, by whom?
Nice. Yes, I remember being very confused when I went to see Fidelio for the first time, having appeared in both The Barber of Seville and Marriage of Figaro, where the character of Marcellina had been somebody rather elderly. And I tried to work out when Marcellina was the daughter of the jailer, Rocco, in Fidelio. Whether this was the one that would been in the other operas with me when she was very young, or a totally different person.
Lovely thought, actually.
It's a totally different person.
Yes, Marcellina. Do you recognise the actual singer there? Perhaps
no.
Not enough to recognise. Helen Donat, it was. Yes, that's right. I was looking through an old Albert Hall programme from 1919, and I was delighted because I came across a singer called Madame Stralia. Elsa Stralia. It was her name. Obviously her name was Else, wasn't it? And she came from Australia. Madame Australia was her name. Dennis, it pains me sometimes when you claim to be a musical Philistine.
You gloat.
No.
You're in the process of humiliating me at this moment.
No. The fact is, as we found out just now, you know much more about Beethoven and so on than you let on. For instance...
What's your problem?
Well, Dennis, this is my problem. Bearing in mind, as you know, that Beethoven only wrote 9 symphonies, which one was that?
One of them. I mean,
this is the late We're speaking of the late Ludwig van Beethoven.
Yes.
Late.
Well, I have an answering machine here, which has come up with a rather strangely shaped nine, isn't it?
That's right.
But I presume it's nine.
Yes. I could have said he never wrote 10, which one was it, but that would have, you'd have scorned that, wouldn't you?
I know. Rocky, there was only Rocky, what, three? Yeah. There was Superman three, you know.
That's right. I am a modest person. I have a great deal to be modest about, actually, but it is the plain truth that a lot of people have been writing over the years to say that they'd like to hear just a nice, quiet minute or so of piano solo. So I've decided to play a chorus of one of my favourite popular tunes. To help you four get through it, I'm going to ask you some questions afterwards. I shall be asking John, what has the song to do with Puccini? I'll ask Frank, who sang it in which 1967 film? For Dennis, I want the name of the original show it was written for and the year, please. And Ian, you, I'll be asking you a question about a certain dancer and her London home. Everyone else can just sit back and enjoy what I think is a super tune. John, the connection with Puccini.
Well, before you put your fingertips to the bits of elephant tusk,
yes.
My comrade on my right said, poor butterfly.
Ah, what a nice thing to say.
As you started playing.
Nice thing to say, yes. So?
Well, it's probably the name of the tune.
Well, yes, that's right. And it refers to the heroine of Madame
Butterfly. Oh, yes, Madame Butterfly. Right. Madame Butterfly. Yes.
Frank, that 1967 film, who sang it?
Faintest idea.
Not the slightest idea.
Now is the time to find if the audience...
I have no idea.
If the audience remembers...
If you flung me...
Who?
Naked into a vat of hissing snakes, I could not tell you who it is.
Anybody in the audience know who sang it?
Some clever...
Julie Andrews, no. In Thoroughly Modern Millie was the film. This is Julie Andrews, though. In Thoroughly Modern Millie. Over to Dennis for the original
well
show,
done.
Dennis. And the...
I can't tell you the original show. I can tell you a bit of background on it. It was It was actually written for a show in which they'd expected to engage a very well-known Japanese soprano, and so they thought they'd write a second sort of Madame Butterfly. But the deal fell through, and somebody else sang it.
Mm,
and despite
right.
that,
yeah.
it became a success. Now, as to when it was, what I was associated with is a wonderful version of Dawn Patrol with Errol Flynn and David Niven,
oh,
where
yes.
throughout the film it's being played on a wind-up gramophone,
right.
and that was the First World War, so it was sometime during the First World War
yes,
when I would
right.
say it came
Good.
Out.
You get a mark for effort, yes. 1916, The Big Show at New York Hippodrome. That show included in its cast, Ian, a dancer born in 1881, whose home for a time was very near where you now live. Do you know her name, or even her London address? Or her local?
Well, the only famous dancer of that era, well, I don't know any other famous dancers of that era, but there is one who did live near us, and that was Madame Pavlova.
That's right.
Who lived on the North End Road going down towards Golders Green.
So, Dennis, what would her local pub have been?
Didn't Markova also live there?
Really? I didn't know that. Not in 1916.
No, not in 1916.
What would Pavlova's local pub have been?
Well, providing if she went stayed in the North End Road, it would have been the Bull and Bush.
The old Bull and Bush.
Indeed it would. Yes, that's right.
Absolutely. That's right.
We have a little bit of Scottish folklore about Madame Pavlova, of her appearing, I think it was in Edinburgh, round about, obviously, that period. And two ladies were heard coming out afterwards, and one said to the other, "Wasn't that simply wonderful?" And the other said, "Oh, undoubtedly it was, but it was rather spoilt for me, because I kept saying to myself, she's terribly like Mrs. Wishart."
Yes. Oh, well. All the records in this next round have a certain something in common. John, just before asking you for the title and the show from which Wunderbar comes, I find myself wondering if you've ever come across this version.
Wunderbar, wunderbar, we're alone and ending love, not a cloud here or far, oh, it's more than wunderbar, why care, dear, for you meddling, and I long, dear, for your kiss. I would die, dear, for you gladly, your divine, dear, and your mind.
And so on. Sung by Zara Leander on that memorable record, I think.
Frank says it's by Cole Porter.
Yes, from the show...
Do you know, Frank? Idea.
Kiss Me Kate. It comes from Kiss Me Kate. Yeah. I wouldn't like you to miss the way that record ends. Listen.
Like a love, it's for
still think it was
his first tribute, isn't it?
Zara Leander. Frank, you can make a song out of almost anything, almost any subject. Tell me what you think of this.
This pullover that you gave to me, I am wearing and wear it constantly. Soft and warming, like your love for me. It was made, dear, like you were made for me.
Oh, that lovely.
Isn't that lovely? This pullover.
It sounds rather Spanish, doesn't it? My pullover.
Yes. I only asked you what you thought of it, and you've told us, so that's fine. It was Jess Conrad in An Unwise Moment. He also recorded a song called Why Am I Living, which perhaps is appropriate. Ian, I know you don't like criticising fellow artists, so let me call on you just to identify this solo performer who we all know and like.
I discover the valley of the shifting, whispering sands while prospecting for gold in one of the western states.
Ian.
Eamon Andrews, this is not your life.
Good, wasn't it? Dennis, this artist, a huge success with his audience, as you will hear, shares a name with a famous painter.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head. Oh, baby.
Love the angel choir, don't you? Angels, of course, in his paintings, but it's a different chap. What's the name?
I don't know.
No, it's
Charlie Constable.
It's Raphael.
It's a Raphael. That, I think I'm going out of my head. I was once talking to somebody about Busby Berkeley, you know, those great patterns he made. And this chap said something which I thought was quite true in a way. He said that the thing about Busby Berkeley and his choreography was it was intensely literal, and what he did was always illustrate exactly what was being said in the song. And he said if he had to do, for example, I think I'm going out of my head, he would have 100 dancers form a great big head and then have them go out of it.
Whenever I see a jogger in the street or by the roadside, I don't quite know whether to feel sorry for him or envy him or her. Such puffing and sweating and quivering and bouncing. Hope it prolongs active life for them. Meanwhile, let us offer joggers a signature tune. A theme song for a jogger. If you can think of something.
Isn't that a song of the 20s or 30s where they actually use the word?
Yeah.
Jogging.
Jog, jog, jog,
jogging along the highway. Yeah, yeah. Jog, jog, jog it along the highway. That's right.
Yes.
Don't they?
Red
Males in the Sunset. I mean, I think the effect of jogging is best summarised. I can't remember the name of the song, but it's the last line of it. And it goes, look what you've done to my heart.
Yes. That's right.
What's the song? Yes. Can you remember the song?
Well, it's
Dennis,
probably look what
song.
You've done to me.
It'll
come to him. It'll come to me too. Meanwhile, Ian, what a song for a jogger.
Well, there's quite a lot of it round where I live. And looking at some of the girls, you could think the signature tune could be June is Busting Out All Over.
Yes. That'll do me, Dennis.
Well, the only time I tried it, which is also around that area, it was so painful when I got back that the two occurred to me is, one is, these boots were meant for walking. And the other one, looking at my feet afterwards, was Tootsie's goodbye.
Wraps that up nicely, yeah.
Little town jog, don't I love thee?
I once saw an elderly man. It was Fitzjohn's Avenue. This is years ago, and he had all the gear, absolutely splendid, beautiful tracksuit, and a woolly hat, and he had the earphones and the transistor in a sort of special breast pocket. He was all wired up, and he had beautiful gloves and training shoes and everything. And he was moving really so slowly that I was walking up very slowly up the hill, and I'd left him behind. And he was going, but he had a certain rhythm about it, and I wondered what it was that he was listening to on the transistor, yes. And I thought it could only have been... I'm sure he was well into his 70s, and it was a very game performance, and I could only imagine it was probably... He had on it, you can do it, you can do it, with perhaps occasional bursts of Land of Hope and Glory.
Many's the place name that's been honoured in song, from Mobile to Mandalay and Monterey to Mogador. Not forgetting Tallahassee and Titipu. John, I quote, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. Where's that, and why does the place name appear twice? If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. I can give you a four-note clue from a different song.
You better.
First
song.
Notes of Sibelius 5, I note.
John, Frank, can you help?
Finland. Do you think it refers to Finland?
Finland.
No, it won't do. It's New York, New York. And
New
I played
York,
a bit
New
of
York?
The New York, New
what
York.
What a wonderful town.
Yes, I played a bit of that one. It's city and state, of course. That's why it's called mentioned twice. New
lovely
York, New
song.
York. As in London, England or something, yeah. Didn't get it. Frank, Mary Queen of Scots didn't know the song. You do. Though you may never have visited the castle or even paddled in the River Meese.
The River?
Meese, M-E-A-S-E. I'm speaking of a spot in Leicestershire. A song title.
Elizabeth of Hardwick's husband imprisoned her there.
Mm-hmm.
Do I get half a mark?
Where? I think so, yes. Where?
I don't know. But
go with me.
That's the trouble. I know that Elizabeth of Hardwick's husband.
Yes.
But can you...
Ashby Castle.
Ashby de la Zouche.
Yes, Ashby
Castle
de la Zouche.
Castle Abbey.
Castle Abbey, as the song had it. Yes, he got half mark, hasn't he? Which thoroughfare is Nordy, Bordy, Gordy and Sporty?
Well, I thought the accent was great. And I suppose we're in the United States of America.
Oh. Geordie.
Can I give you a little one-note thing on the hint on the piano?
Oh, please.
Yeah. I've got a great clue from Frank,
so he's done everything. It's 42nd Street.
42nd Street. Well, okay, half mark, I think.
Quarter.
Yes. Dennis, where can any office boy or young mechanic be a panic?
If he, with a good-looking pan, in Hollywood.
Hooray for Hollywood.
To be an actor, see Mr. Factor, he makes a monkey look good.
Yes. A quick question for whoever gets in first. I'm going to play a tune. See who can be the first to call out the name of the thoroughfare that is mentioned somewhere in the lyric.
Broadway. I wouldn't take the wealth on Wall Street for the treasures I possess.
Yes, that's right. Wall Street. Yes.
I'm worth my bonus.
I was playing the first phrase, and that's right in the middle.
A pocket full of dreams.
Wouldn't take the wealth of Wall Street. Frank's just got as far as the title, but never mind. It would be nice and tidy if I could find a common link between the four final songs, but I can't. Lily of Laguna, the theme from a sitcom, an old song about visiting a ball, and Easter Parade. Well, common link I can't find. So here they are. Frank's song first.
Listen. In Lilting and Loving. Well. She's my lady love. She is my dove. My baby dove. She's no gal for settin' down to dream. She's the only queen Laguna knows. I know she likes me. I know she likes me, 'cause she said so. She's the lily of Laguna. She is my lily and my rose.
John's been looking at television and has found a syphilable sig there. The theme music from Soap.
My favourite programme.
Yes. There's your note, Frank. Fairly well. Dennis has an old song supposed to be sung by a young girl at her first ball.
What happens after the ball? That's what I'd like to know. In the one step they all hold you so near and whisper things a girl shouldn't hear. And in the two step they put a new step that isn't in the dance at all. And when the jazz begins, I got a surprise. Oh, I could read their thoughts by the look in their eyes. So if that's what they do when they're dancing, what happens after the ball?
Ian's song had the original title of Smile and Show Your Dimple. It really did, but Irving Berlin thought better and retitled it Easter Parade.
In your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter Parade.
when they look you over, I'll be the proudest fellow in the Easter parade. To the park we'll go, round Rotten Row. The photographers will snap us, and then you'll be seen in the smart magazine. Oh, I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter parade.
What a simple tune. It's a wonder nobody thought of it first. But nobody did. Oh, yes, the score. A victory this week for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Thanks. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.